friendship.
Greet us, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Well, we're certainly glad you're here, and we hope you recognize that God loves you, and we appreciate you pretty much, too. I wish we could see you, but maybe for some of you, you'd rather that not be the case right now. I know there's been many times when I'm in the studio, and I'm kind of dressed for radio. Let's just leave it at that. But many times, I don't shave till about 2 in the afternoon because, hey, nobody has to see me, and I'm not going out for appointments or follow up with radio errands till mid-afternoon, so... The 5 o'clock shadow doesn't come on me because I didn't shave till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. But anyways, Kyle, I'm so glad you're able to be here on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. We tend to be like, I guess, kindred spirits, if you will.
Yeah.
It began a few days ago on Thursday when we met up because of Bear Chair, and we shared some of that testimony yesterday. We just started telling stories of the ways we saw God at work and our excitement and love for God's Word and just the application that we draw as we read and pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten us. And then we talked about gifts and just some of the ways we're wired to reach out and help those or assist or build, in my case, work around a radio ministry that can help people grow, and I'm just wired exhortation. I love to see people grow, and then your gifts of giving and serving and just equipping people and just your heart to see people come to know the Lord, which should be true of most all of us that have tasted the fruits of walking in a relationship with God and just that peace, that contentment. Not that everything goes great, not that everything works out, that our checkbook balances every day, that we don't sin or fall short, but that we're determined to move ahead, relinquish control, to follow Him, to submit, to obey. And those are all really good words, that submitting and obeying to a loving God who cares, who's merciful, is a wonderful thing.
It is.
But, you know, we still live in these earthly bodies, and we're prone to operate in the flesh, some would say.
Though
our goal is to operate in the Spirit, we can have those tendencies. But we shared a little of that yesterday. So for those of you that weren't tuned in yesterday, that heard part one of my conversation with Kyle and some of his testimony, I invite you to go to greatnewsradio.org and click on the archived programs link, and you can hear some of the background on Kyle and coming to Christ at kind of a young age. And so we won't reiterate most of that story because you can hear it, but I will say that Kyle is married to lovely Kim, and
right.
He did a shout out yesterday, but it never hurts. Husbandry 101 would say a secondary
shout out.
Hi,
dear. You're wonderful. I'm so glad you're my wife.
Yes.
You better darn straight believe it. And Erica, Logan, Aaron, and Jake, that's our 4 kids. Just so grateful for all of you.
All right. You attend the Victory Christian Center. Pastor Scott Millis the pastor there, leading the congregation. And you farm, you and your two brothers, about 6,000 acres in and around the Farmer City area. And yesterday you gave us some insights into farming, and that was really helpful because I shared that I'm agriculturally
challenged.
Yes. You helped me a lot with some of the farming concepts and all the work that goes into farming. It's an incredible endeavor, and it's not, as you shared, the 4x4 where you only have 4 weeks worth
of spring, 4 weeks
in the
fall.
It's like the pastor that only really works about an hour or
yeah,
so
that's
on Sunday.
It. Well, what else does he do? How's come he's making all that money?
Yeah.
Come on. Isn't that the truth? It's amazing. Until, you know, the old Indian proverb, you know, you need to walk in somebody else's moccasins once, you know. It absolutely is the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about our pastors and Pastor Scott Millis, you know, he came to us, he's been telling us for 3 years he wanted to take a missions trip, you know, and we've been, okay. And, you know, I've shared with you personally, and I'll share with the audience, that I consider myself a missionary to the missionaries. You know, several years ago, a man who worked with me, I worked with him side by side, and he supported missionaries in different places in the United States and got me involved in bringing trucks and trailers and taking care packages and blankets and all kinds of things to these different areas. And one of those areas was Hearts and Hands Ministry from John and Dorothy Navarra. We started going down there 13 or 14 years ago, taking care packages to the orphanages and blankets and glasses and bicycles and all kinds of things to help support their ministry there. And frankly, that's where it began for me. Besides being a giver at our church and always helping with projects and so on and so forth, we started extending. And that's just something that I've always enjoyed. And I've just believed that we're sowing our seed in the right places, you know. And that's where we struggled with this trip to Niger, Africa. Our pastor said, hey, I want to take a team to Niger. Neil and Danette Childs are the missionaries there. Frankly, they kept encouraging us to bring a team, and we struggled. Mark, $30,000 for 10 of us to go over there. And we're thinking, couldn't that money be better used? And Neil and his wife, Danette, have itinerated about every other year to our church, usually during the summer, and just to update us on what they're doing, how many churches they've been able to plant, you know, pastors they've been able to disciple, schools they've been able to found, so on and so forth. And he told us this summer, he says, you don't understand. He says, there's something for you in Niger, and you have something to bring to Niger. We want you to come. So all of us jumped on a plane. Well, with much planning, preparation, we did some skits together. We had some practice times. We prayed, you know, tried to get the mind of the Lord on what we're to do while we're there.
Raise funds to go.
Yeah, those are all key issues. You better believe it. So 10 of us went. We left the day after Christmas and returned the day after New Year's, just this past Christmas and New Year's.
And a total whirlwind.
Oh, a total whirlwind, and got there in a total whirlwind, and it was almost a total whirlwind the entire time we were there. But let me tell you, brother, it was probably one of the most phenomenal experiences of my Christian life. Mm-hmm. And we came into the city, and we landed in the airport of the capital of the country of Niger, is Niamey. I think I'm saying it right. Forgive me, those of you that are listening that know better. We got into the vehicle, and driving from the airport to their home in the city was literally like driving inside of a video game. I'm sitting in the back seat, and I finally said to Ron, that would be Neil's dad, Ron, this is a video game, and you're getting paid points for everything you're avoiding. And my son posted on Facebook later, two of our sons went, Ann, Kim, and me, along with the six others from our church, pastor and two other couples and another young man. And anyway, I said, we're getting paid. And you cannot fathom. Getting on the Dan Ryan in Chicago was easier. I mean, there were donkey carts and there were camels and the people lined the streets and there were goats and there were sheep and there were chickens and there were cows. And this is all in the capital city. The capital city had electricity, had running water, had a toilet or two in a place or two that was respectable. Otherwise, they were just tubes in the ground. That's a whole other story for another day. Okay. But we got out. It wasn't very long. The next day, they took us out. And I mean, Mark, you didn't have to go but a mile out of the city, and you were right into the United States 180 years ago. Okay. I mean, I'm talking, all they're doing is working to live, trying to grow a few crops in the desert, trying to keep a thatch roof over their head. You know, I'm not talking motorized vehicles, nothing. I'm talking, they walk everywhere they go. You get out into the out country 6 and 7 miles out, and these people have to walk 4 and 5 miles to get water. And they'll carry a 5-gallon bucket of water on their heads back into their villages. And now, you know, yes, the civilized world is trying to get to them, but there's so many people. And there's so few funds. There's no real economy there. And frankly, how do I say this politely? Our worst day in America has got to be probably as close to their best day there. And I know we have areas of abstract poverty in America, but let me tell you, we have mechanisms in place as a country that God founded, that has blessed us with, that they don't even pretend to understand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I shared with you, you know, we had a 5-hour church service. Pastor Scott, please don't go 5 hours if you hear me. You know, and I'll go and I'll listen and I'll surrender. But it was different because, we praise and they worship and they bang on drums and they're singing in three different dialects, three different languages, and you got two interpreters going. It sounded like an auction gone bad. Okay? Yet the presence of the Lord was there. Mm-hmm. And these people were like sponges soaking the gospel. And you know what? They haven't been conditioned not to believe. They believe. You share the gospel with them. You tell them the story. You know, it had been just a few weeks prior to our visit there that they had baptized 70 people, dug literally a grave, as we were, in the center of this village, Muslim community, filled it full of water and said, we want you to identify your lives with Christ, water baptized, you know.
And this is like in a Muslim area, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These countries, many of them are primarily Muslim. Some of them actively pursuing their faith, Muslim faith, and other areas, you know, tolerant to the Christian faith. Now, I will tell you, in another community that Neil moved from, they've planted several churches and built a school there. Even had that school burnt down once by some radicals. Put her back up and just kept right on going. That continues to be their vision. Their vision is to train the nationals to disciple the pastors in the gospel so that if they pull and they leave, that these communities, these church communities will continue to thrive and grow through the love of God, through the love of Christ. And it's just a phenomenal thing to see. And we actually were part of a camp meeting there and also were able to witness some of their pastors being ordained. And let me tell you, this is not something that this couple takes lightly. They train them several weeks, and they make them go through a process that's about a year long before they will actually sign off, because they want to know that these people are going to continue to take the gospel. And they, you know, this man, Neil, his dad left to become a missionary in the 70s when he was 10 years old. They moved from the United States, went to Nigeria, worked there several years. He came back to the States, Neil did, to be, he got his college education at ORU. He met his wife, Danette, there at ORU, worked as a computer engineer in the States for 8 years, and then felt the call to go back. And by this time, his dad had moved from Nigeria to Niger, and frankly, that's when he went back in and got involved, and he now is the head of that ministry, and they continue. They're right now building a compound that's being funded solely. It's a school, and they want to be able to train 250 kids in this school, K through 12. But it's being funded pretty much by Richard Roberts, to be frankly honest. What an exciting thing, because the one thing that Neil has found the most frustrating there in Niger is there are several other churches that have raised up schools, but they don't preach Christ because they don't want to offend the Muslims. And Neil said, what's the point? Mm-hmm. He says, we're here to give them Christ. Okay, we're going to give them a good education because we want to be a blessing to them. But fundamentally, we want to teach them about the Lord. And man, that's just exciting. You know, our pastor started a 3-week fast for us. We're in the middle of it right now. We're coming into the last week. This fast, last year it was the fast of more. This year it's the fast of less. And I'm thinking, fast of less? He says, I want you as a congregation to be thinking about what it is that you can set aside, maybe even as for long as of a year, that you can take those dollars, and he wants to be able to present a gift to Neil and Danette when they're in our church this summer for $10,000. We're a congregation of 100 people. You know, that's a pretty steep thing. But I know the fundamentals of what he's promoting is right, because we came back energized from this journey. Energized not only for their ministry, but just for the fact that there are those, I'm telling you, Mark, you've got to have a call. And you listening audience out there, for you to leave as a computer engineer from the United States, living in the land of milk and honey, as it were, and go and live in Niger where there's virtually nothing, there's no economy to speak of, and give your life for 14 years, it's a call. It's not something that you do because you feel like it. You do it because you believe God wants you there. You know, I joked when I come home, I want to make careful that I didn't say I wouldn't go, but I said, God, you're going to need to write that 3 times in the sky in great big letters before I go, you know. And I'm not telling you I wouldn't, but I'm telling you I'd have to know that God wanted me there, because that's not something you just pick up and go do lightly.
Yeah, yeah. That takes lots of prayer, affirmation from others, you know, a real calling. And yet, I want to point out a couple things that I'm learning through some of your sharing. And in case you just tuned in, I have Kyle Kopp in the studio with me. He was on yesterday, and this is kind of a two-part interview. Thank you for being available on this Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. You farm in the Farmer City area, and as mentioned, you're married to Kim, and you have 4 children, and yet you've had an interesting spiritual pilgrimage where kind of the Lord took your vocation, being a farmer, yes, earning resources, and yet God put it on your heart to equip others to go, and then he said, but I want you to have a first-hand experience yourself. And so a couple things that I wrote down is, Christian, listener, get a passport. Have your passport
Amen.
In order.
Yes.
Passports are valid for 10 years because you never know when God may call you for a short-term mission
Good
experience,
advice.
A long-term mission experience, maybe like what Kyle did, initially going to minister to the missionary.
Yes.
You can have a vital role. You might say, oh, but I don't know the Bible well enough, or I don't know if I'm called to be a teacher overseas. Hey, your role might be to go and minister to that missionary couple, maybe to watch their children.
Absolutely.
There's so many different ways you can assist. So get your passport. Entertain the idea that God has called you to maybe go yourself and minister in various ways. Now, you were gone, you said, was about 5 or 6 days, seven days?
We left the day after Christmas, returned the day after New Year, so basically a week.
Okay, about a week.
You know, and two of those days are consumed, obviously, in travel. It's 9 hours to Paris, 5 hours to Niger, with whatever, and that doesn't include layover time in Paris. You know, so 2 days are consumed in travel. But when we hit the ground running on the 5 days we were there, it was just, and we saw a few things. We got to see the hippos. We got to go out in some of the very back out back and see some giraffes in the wild, a few different things like that, but most of our time was spent in the villages.
Now, say you're going to speak to that engineer, that healthcare worker, that retired guy that's golfing on Thursdays. Well, of course, right now with the snow, unless he's in Florida or Arizona or somewhere. But what would you say to that individual that's like, well, I just can't see myself going on one of these mission trips? I mean, you know how it's changed your life.
Absolutely.
So what would you say to them?
And I would say that you got to remember that God is the God not only of the impossible, but the possible as well. And frankly, if you're feeling stirred in your heart, in the heart of hearts of you, you're even questioning it. You're saying, why would anybody go? Yet, boy, that interests me. Then I'm going to suggest that you dig deeper. I'm going to suggest that you pray more. I'm going to suggest that you ask God, because you might find yourself very shocked. And I will tell you, I was way out of my comfort zone. Getting inside of a tube for 9 hours is way out of my comfort zone. However,
now, the tube being an airplane.
Yes, the tube being an airplane. That's all it is to me, is a round tube, and how those things get off the ground, I'll never know. But
well,
I'm
you
glad
know you're farmers. You're used to being in those big tractors, you know, on the soil, you know, very close to the earth.
We're digging dirt. We're not looking down thinking, okay, if I fall out, it's over, you know. But regardless, it's good to be stretched. And I want to encourage any of you out there that have even had an inkling of attempting something like this, when the opportunity presents itself, please do. Please consider. Please ask the Lord, because it will change who you are.
And you also mentioned the importance of using your resources for kingdom purposes.
Absolutely.
Supporting the missionaries. I mean, the Bible is filled with sending people so
yes.
that they can declare God's
yes.
word to those that maybe have never heard it, whether it's a Muslim country, maybe it's an inner city missions, but the importance of recognizing your resources, your savings are really not your own.
That's right. They are not. We don't own any of it. When we're buried in 6 feet under, it doesn't. None of those things matter. What matters is what we have invested in the kingdom to bring others to Christ to spend our eternity with. There's where our treasures to lay. Hey, I'm a farmer. We've had a few good years here, but I was a giver long before I had a few good years. I've given in times when there was nothing to give, but I knew I was supposed to do it anyway, simply because I don't believe for a minute that it's mine anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
You ask anybody that works with us, and they'll tell you know what? Kyle didn't believe it's his. It's God's, and it does belong to him. And the exciting part of it is we can send people.
Mm-hmm.
We can play a part. We can encourage those missionaries.
And oftentimes, it's easy to give out of our wealth when
yeah.
we have a lot, like you mentioned. You know, it's easy to give when we have a lot, but I'm challenging some of you, even that little that you give, that sacrificial, is enormous in God's economy.
Amen.
He can take
There's the key.
The littlest amount. Jesus has referred to that. He's taken that widow's mite. And that in kingdom economy is great resources and great
yes.
wealth. And God
yes.
will multiply it and use it
yes.
and develop it and reap a heavenly reward. That
Amen.
I guess when we go to heaven, some of those things we're going to realize, wow, I didn't realize my donation towards this or my involvement in that, or physically going yourself and just being that voice of encouragement to the missionary or those that are serving overseas, those that are even serving maybe in the local soup kitchen. Take them out or encourage them or say, you know, I'm going to allow you and your husband to
That's
have
right.
a date night. I'm going to watch your kids. There's so many different ways to serve. We're all called to be ministers.
Amen.
We're all called to be ministers. And I mentioned yesterday's program that this Friday I'm going to have Pastor Randy Gauger on talking about spiritual gifts and how we're all called to take our spiritual gifts, the ones that Jesus has given to us. Because if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been given spiritual gifts. Some, maybe it's two or three. Maybe for many of us, it's just one special gift. But it's uniquely given to us so that we can accomplish kingdom work. And so
yes.
I would encourage you to tune in Friday. And I'm glad, Kyle, that you've been intentional on using your spiritual gifts to further God's
Praise
kingdom,
God.
The
it's
gifts
all
of
good.
Giving, the gifts of serving, the gifts of helping proclaim the gospel in various ways. And
it's too much fun.
Yeah, really. It's kind of living on the cutting edge to see what God's going to do.
Amen.
Kyle, in our closing minute or two, what would be one last suggestion or nugget or insight that you'd like to share with our listener that might give them something to think about today?
Well, I want to mention, and I mentioned it briefly yesterday, that life really is about going forward, that you can't take back the last breath you breathe. Okay, so you blew it a half hour ago. You blew it 5 minutes ago. You blew it 10 days ago. You blew it a month ago. Listen, let it go. You got to move on. When you repent and when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, he says he takes your sins and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. I want to encourage all of you to do the same. You know, we've talked a lot today about missionaries. We've talked about investing your lives in doing the gospel, taking the Great Commission, taking the gospel to the world. You can only be as effective as your heart will allow you to be. And when you confuse yourself and condemn yourself with the things of the past that you can't change anyway, I want to say to you, forgive yourself. You've asked God to forgive you. It's time to move on. It's time in faith to take that next step. Stretch out there. Stretch your hand out and say, okay, God, I've been encouraged today. I've got something new I can set my heart upon, and find some ministry you can be a blessing to. Do something new at the church, just as Mark suggested. Forget where you've been. Let's move forward.
And the verse that comes to mind, that 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's because of his completed, finished work on the cross. None of us deserve the grace and the mercy that God has extended to us. We can't earn our way into heaven.
That's
it's
right.
All because of him and his gift and his shed blood on our behalf. So thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit, for enlightening our minds and hearts to receive that free gift, that message from you that
Amen.
You do love us. Boy, listener, I would pray that you would draw near to God today. For those of you that know him well, those of you that are senior saints, cling to him today like never before, because he's a good God. He's worthy of our worship, our obedience, and our praise. And for those of you that have maybe never entertained the idea that God loves you, he does.
Amen.
And please find a Bible-believing church, open up the scriptures, and ask God to reveal truth to you, and he will, because he cares for you, he created you, he loves you. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I'm encouraged today. Kyle, are you?
Hey, this has been great. It's been a blessing, brother.
I'm encouraged, and I hope you are too. I hope that you'll stay tuned in today. We have lots of great Bible teaching and inspirational music that hopefully will fortify you on your faith journey, no matter where you're at in that continuum. Even those of you that are maybe hostile to the gospel and think some of us Christians are delusional, well, take a second look, because God loves
Amen.
You. We're not delusional, and we hold to his truth, and I think
That's right.
as you draw near to him, he'll reveal truth to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.